the fundamental laws of faith. Faith is a spiritual force. It is not mental. It's a spiritual force. And ooh, I love this book. And they can put it up on the screen, but I like the... Now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of things we hope for, being proof of the things we do not see, and conviction of their reality, faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. For by faith, trust, and holy fervor born of faith, the men of old had divine testimony born to them and obtained a good report. By faith we understand that the worlds during successive ages were framed, fashioned, put in order, and equipped for the intended purpose by the word of God, so that what we see was not made out of things which are visible. Prompted, actuated by faith, Abel brought God better and more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, because of which it was testified of him that he was righteous, that he was upright and right standing with God. And God bore witness by accepting and acknowledging his gift, and though he died, yet the incident is still speaking. My spiritual father preached a message. He said, the blood of Cain cried out to God. He said, the blood of Jesus cries out. And when you speak an ugly word about or to someone, the blood of Jesus cries out and said, it's your fault. Ooh. He said, the blood still cries, only it's the pure, sinless blood of Jesus by which we're sanctified and made holy. Now, let's go over here to 2 Corinthians. Chapter 5. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we should be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that has wrought for us the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk and live by faith and not by sight. So, Smith Wigglesworth coined the term, I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm moved only by what I believe. And then I learned that from Brother Hagin. Well, and then songs were written about it. Amen. And it became, in the word of faith, which we preach from the 10th chapter of the book of Romans, then that begins, that invisible, powerful force. I began to learn to pray about everything. We walk by faith and not by sight. In the fourth chapter, verse 13, we having the same spirit of faith according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore they speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus raised us up also by Jesus and shall present you and so forth. For which cause we faint not, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And I'll close with this. Faith will not work in an unforgiving heart. Abraham's blessing cannot be received with Thomas's faith. He made a decision in the 20th chapter of John. I will not, unless I can see the holes in his nail, in his hands, and put my hand in his side, I will not believe. Then Jesus came in there. Without opening the door. And he said, peace be to you. Thomas, I'm paraphrasing. Give me a hand. Feel the holes in my hands, in my side. He said, my Lord, my God. He said, Thomas, you have believed because you've seen it. Blessed are those that have believed and not seen.
Yes.
So don't call him Doubting Thomas anymore. Amen. So we have to learn from that. There's another aviation term that I want to share with you. Something happens in the air. Engine starts messing up. Stop and wind your watch. This thing is not going to fall out of the sky. Take a moment. Get the checklist. What does the checklist say? What am I supposed to do first? Just take a moment. And something disastrous happened. Wait a minute. Stop, wind your watch. Gloria and I drove from Tulsa back home. And I was preaching in Grace Temple the next day. And so we got in and I said, Mother, I'm hungry. You scrambled me some eggs maybe? And she said, okay. The phone rang. She said, Kenneth, that was a call we got from the hospital. She said, in fact, came from Lois. She said, Aunt Allie's on her deathbed. And She's dying. They said, if we want to see her, we better get there quick. Come on. I said, no, ma'am. I'm sweaty. I need to, can I come home? I need to go back to the bedroom and change my shirt. And I went back there. And I changed my shirt. And I prayed. I said, Lord, he said, don't ever let the devil see you sweat. Said, you get over there, I'll tell you what to do. So I said, Mother, you drive, and drive slowly, please. She drove, Gloria got in the back seat, drove to the hospital. When we got there, now, Aubrey Pearson's. Her oldest daughter is named Hailey. This is my mother's aunt and my great aunt. So we got over there to the hospital, and there was Lois Riggins standing there making funeral arrangements because they had put her, the doctor had not come back to sign the death certificate yet. I walked in there and I said, Lois, put down the phone. What? I said, Lois, put the phone down. So I walked over there to do what the Lord said. Gloria is standing there, and Gloria was here, my mother was here, and I walked over there. I said, Aunt Hailey, open your eyes. She said, Kenneth, what are you doing here? I said, I came to pray for you. And Mother said, look at that thing. That's just choking her to death. I said, well, no, not anymore. So Lois put the phone down. Of course. And they went ahead and took her to her home, and she had lived there by herself for some years. She was with her. And so one day, this was 2 years later, my mother was over there close, and the word of the Lord came to her, and she said, go see Hailey. She drove over there, and she was sitting in her favorite chair in the living room. She was just sitting there, and my mother went in there, and she said, Hailey, do you think it's about time to go? She said, oh, yeah. She said, he's been right there for the last couple of days. And she said, I just told him, you know, I'm about ready to go. So mother said, come on in here, let me tuck you in. So she put her in the bed. Now, this Southern Baptist woman, she tucked her in. As she laid hands on her, she said, I ought to just lay your head back and let it go. She said, thank you, Vanetta. And she just left speaking in tongues. Isn't that good? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. This is the way faith works. Don't ever let the devil see you sweat. Read them. I, Jesus, sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come. Let him that thirst come. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in the book. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifies of these things says, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The end.
Amen.
That's it.
We win.
Amen. 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 Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Well, stand up with me, please. I never close a service without giving someone the opportunity to receive Jesus. Those of you in the sound of my voice, the easiest thing you've ever done is to ask Jesus to come into your heart. Second day of November 1962, I thought it was a day like every other day. I flew an executive of the Arkansas-Louisiana Gas Company from Little Rock to Shreveport and back, man by the name of Weir, and came back, our little nice apartment. Gloria was over there at the stove. She waited on me. It's about 8 o'clock in the evening. I changed clothes and came in, and I put on a pair of khakis and a sports shirt. Came in the kitchen, and all of a sudden, I heard it in my spirit. Kenneth, son, if you don't get right with me, you're headed to a devil's hell. I said, I know it. I know it. What do I do now? I heard my Sunday school teacher in the University Baptist Church in Abilene, Texas. Her name was Taggart. She was about that tall. She was a widow. And she taught boys in Sunday school. And her class, of which I was a part, told a Sunday school superintendent that if we can't have Mrs. Taggart for our teacher, we're just not coming back. So they promoted her along with us. I heard her voice, boys, you have to ask Jesus to come into your heart. I thought, that's old Lady Taggart. And that sounds just, well, she called herself old Lady Taggart. She was in her 80s. I said, that's old Lady Taggart. And that sounds just as dumb as it did the first time I heard it, but here it goes. Jesus, come into my heart. Profanity was gone from that day to this. I didn't know I was a new creature. I never heard of it. I was a scripturally illiterate. Well, Gloria came out of the Church of Christ. I came out of the Baptist Church, so we just didn't talk about it. And then I got to tell her, and I said, Gloria, what? come here, baby. If I were to, give my testimony or talk for God or something, she said, hallelujah. I said, what? She said later, what testimony? I'd messed up the job. Well, I hadn't really messed it up. It was just the way it turned out. But anyway, I had to find a different job. And when I was out there looking for that, I had a coffee table I'd made in shop class in high school. Now, she puts that table down, but it's pretty nice, I thought. There was a Bible on it that my mother sent me. I didn't even open it up. Ken Precious, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. Gloria had never read that. She said, Lord, take my life and do something with it. Then January 1963, meeting over in East Texas,
Both of us are baptized in the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues. That's the first time she ever heard the word born again. Well, he took her life and he did something with it. Don't ever even think about committing suicide. Don't take your life. Give it away. Give it to Jesus. He'll do something with it. It is that simple. He did all the hard part. He went to the cross where they beat him nearly to death with a cat of nine tails that ripped the flesh out of his back, and by those stripes were healed. And then they shoved a crown of thorns down on his head and he bled from his head. And they nailed him to that cross and he bled here and he bled. But they didn't kill him. He gave up the ghost. You can find it in the 22nd Psalm. He went to hell so you and I don't have to go. So just put one hand over your heart and just look up towards heaven and say, "Oh, Heavenly Father, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. I receive you now as my Lord and my Savior. I receive it by faith. Thank you, Jesus. You are now my Lord and Savior. And now I fully expect to speak with a new tongue, a new prayer language, according to the second chapter of the book of Acts. I thank you for that. Now just take a deep breath. Thank you, Jesus. I bore all these things for you, saith the Lord, so that you do not have to bear them. I went to that cross for you, knowing beforehand what it would be. And I prayed to my Father, and I said, "Lord, if it be your will, take this cup from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." And so I went to that cross. And if you remember, the scripture says in the 8th chapter of Romans that the glory of God raised me from the dead. So the glory of God came into hell itself and embarrassed the devil and made him bow his knee, and Jesus took his keys away from him. Glory to God. And after 3 days and three nights, he came up out of that grave early in the morning. Thank you, Jesus. And Father, we praise you for it.
The world around you says you've got to look out for yourself and compete to survive. But God's plan for you is the opposite. He created you to abide in the power of His love. Learn how God's peace and prosperity flow freely in your life when you know and believe the love He has for you. In this series, Kenneth Copeland will show you from the Word of God how love makes a way. No matter what challenges and obstacles arise, it positions you to succeed. Walking in love is tied to receiving the blessing of the Lord. Train your mind to stay in alignment with Him and the understanding that He loves you without limits. When you are born again, you were recreated in His image. You have the same spiritual DNA as Jesus, and that means you can now walk in love with God and people just like him. Enter into his rest and let the blessing work in your life. Know and believe God's love for you. Know and Believe the Love by Kenneth Copeland will answer your questions and convince you beyond any doubt that the love God has for you is without limits. Receive your copy free on MP3 or DVD at kcm.org/TV special or when you call 800-600-7395. Offer good for 60 days. Outside the United States, shipping charges may apply. Contact your regional office for more information.
This is my Bible, and I can have what it says I can have. I can do what it says I can do, and I am what it says I am. What am I? I am in Christ Jesus, and He is in me.
Join us for the St. Louis Victory Campaign, October 26th through the 28th. Register at kcm.org/STL today.
Hello, I'm Larry Warren. 1 John 4:16 says, "We have known and believed the love God has for us. God is love, and he that dwells in love dwells in God." Kenneth and Gloria Copeland want to help you grow in your understanding of the love of God so you can live in the blessing of the Lord every day. They're sowing this special teaching into your life, and it is called Know and Believe the Love. This 15-message series by Brother Copeland will give you a strong foundation in God's love for you. It will take you from beyond just agreeing with your mind to the place to where you will know and believe the love God has for you and be fully persuaded of it in your heart. The truth is, God loves you, and there's nothing that is able to separate you from that great love. Request your free series today on MP3 disc or DVD on kcm.org. Brother Copeland and Jerry Seville are coming to Sunset Hills, Missouri. Partners, I want to invite you to join them for the St. Louis Victory Campaign, October 26th through the 28th. Build your faith and be refreshed as you spend time in God's presence and hear His word preached. Be totally immersed in God's word and position yourself to receive His wisdom and answers for your life. This is a free event to attend, so register today at kcm.org/events. Thank you for joining us today. We'll see you again tomorrow. This is Brother Larry reminding you, God loves you, we sure love you, and Jesus is Lord.
Kenneth and Gloria Copeland want to thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. To learn more about Kenneth Copeland Ministries and how we can help you grow in faith, check out our website for free content and resources available to you on kcm.org.